1:05 a.m. Friday, July 3rd, 2009, episode number 173 of Oh Yeah Dude. My name is Jonathan. This is Seth. Hello, Seth.
Jonathan, this is Oh Yeah Dude, America. I left my microphone on from all of last week to now just to make sure this mic was hot.
A study was done in 1995 where women who were not on the pill were asked to sniff men's shirts. The women preferred, in this study, the women preferred the scent of a man who had different jeans. Not jeans, jeans.
Not denim.
But double helix style.
And so these women were not on an oral contraceptive?
No oral contraceptive.
They were not loose women.
And they were not loose women. And they, in sniffing the men's shirts, were attracted. They preferred scents of men who had different genes than their own.
Okay. Why is that?
You know, the theory of opposites attract. This relates to the HLA, which are human leukocyte antigens. The idea is that on a biological level,
talk to me,
couples with different HLAs stand to inherit a greater variety of potential immune responses and will therefore be more resistant to diseases, so thus their kids get all the benefits of that.
This is like caveman, cavewoman shit right here.
So a company called Gene Partner wants to team up with a new online dating site called Sense to Love and add genetic matching to their growing database. Soon you will be able to easily match up genetically.
So in
it's basically my dad's theory, which is that everyone needs to marry and breed outside of their race, and then within three generations we would just have these very, very healthy, khaki sort of people across the entire world.
One race.
The khakis.
The khakis. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
And by doing so, the khakis will have created some sort of, they'd be a very healthy singularity.
Yeah, we'll be like a super species. Superhumans.
Khakis.
Just on crazy roids and like everyone living on for the like Dren 400 years, drenning out. And
so
like,
smart. Yeah. So compassionate.
Yeah.
Super wonderful people.
Yeah. One people. One love.
The khakis.
But matching up genetic, I mean, it's definitely some Gattaca
you
shit.
Think you're into
starting
that
to go down. I don't know if I'm down with it. I mean,
I just mean for online dating. I mean, there's a lot of things
am
going
on. Am I down
on
with online dating? I've never.
No, I'm saying online dating is already like
hot.
Whatever, but it's hot. But this is taking it. I mean, basically, what they're saying is if you had your sort of genetic code for at least for the HLAs, you would just, you know, you could go to different, you just find, oh, these are the 10 ladies that I'd be
right.
compatible with.
So but in the pecking order.
This
so
just helps in the.
It helps in the. Well, I think people that are looking for mates, not so much dating,
okay.
but are actually looking for like, hey, like I'm looking to settle down. Like I'm going to find my special someone on the internet.
On the internet.
And I mean, I guess genetic, I mean, there's certainly something to be said for having that information about your kids and being like, oh, our kids will be super dope because they'll have this and this.
I'm down.
They get one of these and one of these.
Get one of these, two of these, and none of these. Did you know that Father Jose Funes of the Vatican Observatory claimed that if aliens existed, Jonathan, they might not need redemption. Humanity might be the cosmos's, quote, lost sheep, the one out of 100 in Jesus' parable that wandered and needed special attention. If there are also other intelligent beings, it's not a given that they need redemption. They might have remained in full friendship with their creator.
So they're saying aliens don't need to be saved.
Aliens don't need to be saved. They might be down with Jizo already. Are you guys cool? That's what you're on? That's the shit you're on?
Well,
you're saying that if there are aliens, they might be what Jesus talked about in the parables like a couple, like 56 years ago when they wrote the Bible, that they might just be lost. You're talking about aliens?
Well, I think that they're talking about...
Listen.
I don't know.
Aliens might already be down with Jesus.
Right.
Jesus is my homeboy. I'm an alien. No, you're an alien, dude. You're a fucking alien. You are Jesus. You're an alien. Well, what up?
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that, like, we talk about aliens. I mean, one thinks of, I think one maybe has a tendency to think of higher forms of intelligence.
I'm down.
Because when we think about aliens getting to us, we think about automatically, I think we think about something smarter than us because it's coming to us and being
here.
Like, we got here, like, what up? And like, we beat you. And yeah. So they're saying that in that, whatever knowledge that they've gained as a result, that maybe they have knowledge of like bending time space, at which point maybe they realize like, oh, we did know Jesus. And like, oh,
he was so cool.
And he was fresh as fuck.
We used to hack with him.
We used to do hacky sack.
He was so good.
He was a wicked good hacker.
He was amazing. He played the didgeridoo. Not many people know that.
Just to quickly go back to genetically matching up. A company is also unveiling a new technology.
Wait a second.
What?
There's so many technologies.
There's a lot of technology right now.
We're a science podcast, so it would make sense that we would discuss these technologies.
You know.
Yes?
No. I'll go back. I'll come back to that.
Tell me about this technology.
Let me talk to you about this technology first. We're going to come back to that later. A company is unveiling a new technology that will allow soon-to-be moms the chance, using high-tech 3D modeling and ultrasound imagery, to hold a life-size replica of their baby from the size of a peanut until the days before actual birth. This will allow the parent to form a prenatal bond with their child that will only strengthen their love and devotion.
There's nothing creepy about that. Each month, holding a different size and shaped porcelain baby.
What about the next generation of that, which is one that just like a, that you can, that grows at the same time?
Oh, that would be perfect. It's a, they use this 3D technology
to
make it,
monitor what's happening, and it is replicated out in the outside world in like a living, growing model of your
baby.
But
then what happens if the mother became so attached to that baby and then had her baby, but was so in love already?
Because they'll be so perfectly matched that you can choose to use either one, and the other one you just harvest for spare parts.
Okay, so you just take the real one, kick it. Kick it to the curb because you've already fallen in love with your...
Yeah.
I saw some of the tiny babies, because when they say baby, they mean when they're like, oh my God, that's a baby. It's this, you know, a tiny thing.
Like a fetus, you mean?
But even if... I mean, I'm talking about when it's like using crazy technology, they can tell there's a baby there, but it is like...
Yeah.
It's the size of... I mean, it's small. It's
a tiny baby.
It's a tiny baby, and if you held that, you got to be careful because it's teeny tiny. The dog could get that. The dog might get that. The dog got it. The dog got out the doggy door, and it ate my baby. But it didn't really eat your baby.
It
so
just ate your 3D model.
It
of a
ate
baby.
3D model of your baby that's the size of a fucking peanut. But shut up! I got a prenatal bond.
I have a prenatal bond. You don't understand it.
Don't
it's
understand.
Only going to strengthen as time goes on.
It's
going to
strengthen as time goes by. I'm gonna love my real baby so much. I
hate my real baby. I don't know what it is. I just, the model, I like the model.
I like
baby.
The model better because the model don't fucking keep me up at night. It's so cute, too.
Still cute and
it's
pliable.
Amazing. It's like a piece of art.
Dress it up.
Pliable piece of art.
According to a study in the latest issue of the Journey of the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology,
okay,
there is much more consensus amongst men about who and whom they find attractive than there is among women. More than 4,000 subjects ranged from 18 to 70 years old they rated photographs of men and women ages 18 to 25.
Okay.
That's weird.
Well, it's probably
so they range
optimal.
18 to 70, but the pictures you're rating are only 18 to 25.
Yeah, but 70-year-olds still... They
think
know,
18-year-olds
like,
are hot.
I think so, right? Like 70-year-old women still
does that
like
render them
look at
25-year-old of looking at a 70-year-old and being like, he's cute. I'd hit it.
Probably in the sense that 70-year-old guys still see 20-year-old girls and say, I used to hit shit like that and get wicked jealous of 20-year-old guys. No?
Yes. I'm just saying that it...
I think that's probably because when you're 18 to 25, that's when you're...
At
you're getting the optimal
attractive.
Best looking person.
All right. So then in rating them, men had a much narrower vision, much more narrow.
Much more narrow vision.
Much narrower vision of attractiveness than the women did.
Is that because men are stupid? What is that? So all men agreed, like, this is hot, and women had a sort of more maybe eclectic, broader term of what they found attractive in men?
Or less harsh, one or the other. Either more varied or less harsh.
You think that maybe just socially that's an entire other experiment? The dude's just like, yeah, like, nope, like, hey. And the women were like, oh, he's got nice, strong features.
Yeah. He's got a nice neck.
That's great. That's ears.
A good neck.
Ears are nice for hearing words.
What is it?
Or is I it guess just it's... guys are just the worst and women aren't?
Yeah. I mean, in some one way or the
Probably.
Other. Yeah,
guys
I mean,
are the that's... worst, women aren't, so...
Because I guarantee you, like, whatever those women that they all agreed upon, like, there's some, like, resounding thing. Like, oh, you know, like... What were they showing? Just facial features? Was it body? Like
faces, I think.
Was it just faces?
Yeah, because body, that's a whole other, you know, faces. And so dudes were all picking the same face, and women probably picked several faces. We're like, oh, that's a sexy, handsome man.
Oh, that's a handsome man. Where we just want the same thing over and over again. Like the same layout.
Like Hugh Hefner.
Basically just like you. According to new findings from the National Prison... sorry. This is awesome. According to new findings from the National Prison Rape Elimination Commission, that is the NPREC, the NPREC, American prisoners report that more rapes are committed by guards than by other prisoners. So first and foremost,
okay, tell me,
there is a commission called the National Prison Rape Elimination Commission.
Okay,
that's awesome.
Probably funded by the National Institute of Health.
Probably funded by the National Institute of Health. Maybe do a run of T-shirts once a year for their convention, which maybe I could get my hands on.
Which would be pretty dope.
Yeah, like a Hanes BVT.
What would it be? It would be like a butt up against like a prison bars, like a silhouette of a butt up against a prison guard and bars. Excuse me.
What would it be?
Well, all right. They're saying
so. Basically,
the rape is happening more. Not
more
so
guards
much with
rape prisoners than prisoners rape prisoners.
Now,
it's a fun fact.
It's a terrible thing.
That's a fun fact.
It's a fun fact. Hey, I think I saw that on a Snapple. I opened up a Snapple cap.
It was Nantucket Nectar.
Yeah, it was
telling
like,
me.
Oh, that's a silly little fun fact. Now, I don't even know.
Does it really surprise you? What do you do for a living? I'm a prison guard.
Let me tell you something.
Why? Well, because I like raping dudes, and when I don't rape them, I like beating them in their faces when they get out of line.
That's crazy, but I also was thinking in, let's say it's a women's prison.
Obviously, there's probably prison guards who are awesome people trying to just
maintain
the peace, of course. Keep listening to the show, buy a fucking t-shirt, blah, 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 blah.
888-842-2357.
323-481-4427.
But what about, let's take a women's prison. Just
sexy.
Women. Now, I'm saying there's probably a lot of male prison guards. It's not just women.
You think that that's what...
Well, I don't know, because I'm thinking if you were a male prison guard in a women's prison... That's more like a movie. That's like, now it's getting into... Let's say it's not... Let's take away any violent connotations to it of a rape.
Right. Let's just take the rape out of it. Let's
take the rape out of it.
Concentrate more on the sexiness of it.
Let's talk more about like the intimacy of this. If you're in a women's prison and you're a woman and you're, let's say you're not a lesbian. Let's say you're a heterosexual woman and you enjoy the touch of a man.
Yeah. Or gay for the stay even.
Yeah.
Even if you're gay for the stay. That's fine.
If there was a male prison guard, and let's say he's a nice guy, like a gentleman, there's probably relations that would happen that would be like
sexy.
Beneficial for both parties
sexy.
And sexy.
Yeah.
Kind of sexy.
That's sexy.
Women like a man in uniform. I've read that.
I bet you there's some sexy bitches in prison.
Dude, you can only imagine that there are some very sexy women that are wrongfully accused or maybe even rightfully in prison, yeah, rightfully for sexy prison, things.
For sexy things
that
they've done.
I know some sexy women that have done some hard time.
Yeah.
Wanky, wanky. Now, I would imagine that a young prison guard going about his rounds late at night, oof, might strike up a conversation with women's, let's go plural.
All right.
And for this,
two to
for,
a
the
cell.
Sake of, for the sake of this
for
discussion,
the sake of this particular scenario and discussion.
Manzies, that's some good living all around. Because you got to blow off steam in those environments.
Yeah, stressful.
Those are hot environments in the summer in Shreveport, Louisiana.
Yeah.
Oh, it's hot up in here. Yeah. Let's just fucking relax. It's like these fucking, this uniform is like so stifling. Oof. Aye. But apparently, on the other end, you're in a men's prison, it ain't right. You walk in, bam, teeth knocked out. Oh, shit. And then it only gets worse from there.
From there on out.
You're eating fucking bologna sandwiches, your teeth are knocked out, and you're getting fucked by the guards. Like, and you can't watch TV. This is just
the
getting
pits.
Your news secondhand.
The pits.
It's the pits. You see a loved one that they don't love you anymore because you're in there every, like, once a month. This is a raw deal. You're reading fucking Car and Driver from August 1989.
Yeah.
This is a bum rap. Again.
Like, you know they made a PT Cruiser and a Turbo? The founder of Flickr.com, her name is Katrina Fake, or Katarina Fake, has launched a new search engine that she says is a, quote, kind of shortcut through human expert systems. Users are asked to answer around 1,500 questions.
I guess it's like a Scientology, like, personality.
So they ask, they're asked to answer about 1,500 questions about themselves on Hunch.com. Questions such as political orientation, status of your current interpersonal relationships, do you keep your closet organized, do you believe in UFOs? Hunch claims that this large-scale data farming will allow them to assemble...
I know you love this type of shit.
Well, because it's become the commodity. Everybody who has money, who's knows that they're going to be able to keep money through this process that's happening right now... The new commodity is the human mind. It is the only place left to go. And so that's what they have to do, is digest. They have to know as much about us as possible.
I just don't like how they think they can micro-demographic it down,
but
no matter how many questions they
ask
me.
So long as we keep answering the questions.
Can they really, though?
Yeah, because in a much tinier, stupider version of this,
like a shitty
Tebow
suggestion.
I still get hit up by people all the time that are like, dude, UID just showed up in Google Ads. And it's like, well, yeah, because you have emails that contain a yeah dude in the bodies and in the subjects, and it's searching.
I understand it,
but what I'm saying is that there are plenty of people who understand that or and don't care or have no knowledge of it whatsoever and just think that fucking Google is the niftiest thing in the world because it magically fucking shows you where to buy the stupid fucking, you know, digi scrapping shit that you fucking buy.
I know. I still would like to think that...
Stop. Sorry, go ahead.
I'd like to think that we are a long way away from the way the UID's listeners' crazy minds work, that this thing can't fucking track the people listening to the show right now, that their kooky minds are still too kooky for any... large-scale data farming.
Yeah.
That their interests are still so
but
nutty.
But they can use that data farming too, which is their interest is not in actually understanding the human mind. It's in figuring out what soda they're going to buy next.
Okay.
And so in that sense, they probably can. They can go like, oh, like new electric neon colorways are working better for these fucking crazy fucks than these colorways. Let's change it up and do it this way. Let's make it pastel as opposed to fluorescent.
Yep.
And like, it's going to appeal to that like look more. And it's that kind of shit. And it's just... So anyway, basically, it's just... I mean, it even says it basically... will be able to help you answer questions about your own lifestyle or your own consumer choices.
I like questions answered.
I'm
down with that.
Selling soap.
It's all just selling soap. UID. It's all just selling soap.
Still selling soap.
Our friend Corey Feldman, he fronts a band called Truth Movement. Yeesh. And he performed a free concert this past weekend at the Universal City Walk. Truth Movement likes to compare themselves to Pink Floyd. They're
Who doesn't?
They're about technology. They're about innovations now. They're about innovations in science and sound. And they had a video screen like the pyramids and like galaxies and astronauts. I mean, they're Pink Floyd. He comes out. It's completely dark, and he's cloaked, and he's talking like the, and it's, you know, in the beginning, this, you know, his voiceover to kick off basically their album, Truth Movement's general philosophy on
their brand,
the epic scope of what of the brand.
Truth Movement's brand.
In the beginning, a sign of things to come. And after the last meteor hit the ground, a new time was born. A new age was discovered. The first sign of life from man as he found his way. As he found his way through the icy caverns. People are like, all right, they're at Universal City Walk. They're eating like fucking Auntie Anne's pretzels. It's 9 o'clock at night on a Saturday night. Exploring this new world. And it was bestowed upon him. Men and women made families, created tribes, and formed religion. They're Pink Floyd.
How good is the show?
The show is rock and roll.
Why do I feel like they play it like the Nokia? We could definitely see them at the Nokia at some point this year.
Corey. It's Truth Movement.
Really?
It's Truth Movement.
I gotta see it though.
They're so good, dude.
I wanna see it.
What they're talking about, shifts, paradigm shifts, and just the way that we're dealing with technology.
Talking about the stuff
they're talking about stuff that is impacting us right now.
Right now.
With pyramids and laser beams and cloaked fog and deep breathing and time and space and caverns. Visionary.
Basically, that's all of it, right?
Visionary.
There, in a nutshell.
A teenage hunter was convicted of second-degree manslaughter for fatally shooting a hiker he had mistaken for a bear. Judge found 15-year-old Tyler J. Kales had not acted recklessly when he shot Pamela Almy in the head on Sauk Mountain north of Seattle, Washington. He's going to be sentenced next week. They believe he's going to get 3 months in a juvenile facility.
Killed.
He killed this woman. He shot this hiker in the head because he saw the hiker and he shot it because he shot the bear because he was hiking. He shot the bear. Except the bear was a woman in like a juicy couture like tracksuit. You just killed the bear. The bear dresses like a human because the bear looks like a human. Because the bear is human. He's a teenage hunter.
How old?
Teenage Hunter is my autobiography. Chapter 6.
Steph Romitelli, Teenage Hunter.
Did you ever see that movie I did? That Lifetime movie I did when I was in high school?
Called Teen Hunt?
Called Owen Stevenson, Teenage Hunter.
If you can't tell the difference between a female hiker and a bear, you shouldn't be shooting at it.
I mean, that's right? Kind of acting recklessly. You can't shoot people and think they're bears. They don't look alike.
They don't look enough
tiny
alike.
Tiny women don't look like bears.
I mean, you could technically say in the grand scheme of things, they probably look more alike than like a lot of other things.
Listen, I'm granted. If there's certain bars that he could be at, he could shoot somebody in that bar
She looks more like a bear than a candelabra does, maybe, or something like that. You're looking at it in that scope, I mean, he's not that far off the mark.
If he shot my gumball machine, you'd be like, dude.
Dude.
But.
Guy. Really.
I don't know. 3 months in juvie? I'll take it.
Yeah, that's a.
That's a great sentence.
Consider yourself
really?
Fucking
that's
lucky.
It? No homework? No. Really? No school? Juvie? Perfect. I'll take it. Oh, shit man is right.
Shit man is right.
Bon Jovi He's doing his part.
John Bon Jovi.
John Bon Jovi.
John Bon Jovi.
Jean Bon Jovi.
Jean Bon Jovi.
Jean-Jacques Bon Jovi is doing his part for the people of Iran.
Bon Jovi. Jean Bon Jovi.
Jean Bon Jovi.
Jean Bon Jovi. Oh, so cool. Jean Bon Jovi.
Jean Bon Jovi. He's doing his part for the people of Iran.
I appreciate that.
And we do appreciate that. He's recorded a cover version of Stand By Me, and he's sung some of the lyrics in Farsi. And if you get a chance to check that out...
Sure, it's...
That's a... You fucking jackass. That's one of those examples of cloaking something in like... No, I'm like... You're being a total jackass right now. How dare you, Seth? I'm doing this to help the people of Iran. Yeah, are you, though?
Are you really?
Are you really?
For sure, are you?
For really? Because you look like a jackass. Because you're standing in a fucking studio somewhere in, like, Montauk. And you're recording Stand By Me in Farsi. And you're reading it. Pronounce it like this. Just do it phonetically. Seth, you don't get it, man. I'm giving back.
Well,
people like to do shit. They like to cloak it in the cover of other things.
They really do.
They cloak their shit.
They do.
And they get good at it.
They get so good at it.
You know who gets good at it? People that pull that passive-aggressive fucking, I'm going to play Mickey the Dunce because I'm a fucking jackass. They pull that card where they walk around and they pretend like, oh, I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on. Like, I'm gonna play dumb.
Yeah, well, I'm just doing. I just do this because I want it. I just
cloak it.
Well, yeah, it's
cloak
it's,
it, you motherfuckers. Like these fucking people on the phone. Like I said to you, all you got to do is swear one time, and that's it. Oh, have you been on the phone with Time Warner for 49 minutes because they can't fucking make your internet work, even though you've brought it into other people and very quickly tell you, oh yeah, you have a fucking internet connection. Why are they telling you they can't give you out passwords and that your fucking computer's broken when it's not? But if you say fuck, oh, I'm sorry, sir. Nope, it's it. Oh, conversation's
we
over.
Don't tolerate language like
sorry.
That here. Click.
I'm sorry, sir. Oh, did you say fuck? Click. Don't.
Nope, I love Jesus. Click.
We don't swear, my family. You don't?
I don't give a shit. You're not. I'm not sitting at dinner with your fucking family, fuck
face. With your fucking ugly family. Fix this fucking computer, you jackass. I'm going to cloak it. Cloak it.
It's so
frustrating when motherfuckers cloak it.
It's what it is. This is what they do. They get to a place where they adopt a personal philosophy, where they accept, like, Oprah's rules of life, and then they just go at full-time living, working around them, finding the loopholes that still stay within their shitty confines of their structure that, like, I don't do this, I don't do this, I don't do this. But within that, I can do anything I want. I can twist this and manipulate
it
and cloak it as much as I want. Because I get to operate from this place of like, I'm coming from this rules, these sets of rules, and this works if you do it this way. But I still have not stopped for 5 minutes to question how it is that I'm like imposing my will upon the world, like everywhere I fucking go.
But this is coming out of just...
At least, I mean, not to say that I don't impose my will upon the world, but I'm fully aware of the fact when I walk out the door, it's like the first thing I do, like two-handed. Like,
your will is dope.
Like, I want it to go this way.
Your will is dope.
Because my will's dope as fuck.
You should write a will and put me in it.
I will.
This is coming out of the fact that I was...
This is a good story.
I don't want to get into it. I was thrown out of my fucking Starbucks because I almost fucking throttled some fool of mine.
You can't say that and not explain... Yeah, I mean, Seth pulled like a full Jonathan. Like,
pulled a full Jonathan. Was asked to... The manager of the Starbucks, sorry, sir, I can't serve you, and asked me to leave the Starbucks and didn't get me a fucking coffee.
Asked him to leave after he asked the person who he was having an altercation with, bold, like, just calmly said... Do you want me to punch you in the fucking face? Is that what you want me to do? Do you want me to punch you in the fucking face?
Oh, this fucking guy.
I get it, man.
This fucking guy.
I fucking get it, bro.
I mean, dude. No, I didn't see you in line, dude, because you're standing 12 feet away from where we order fucking coffee.
At a kiosk.
Hiding behind a fucking display of shitty books that I don't want to read, looking at espresso machines that cost $600. You know what we do, motherfucker? We order coffee up here. No, I didn't see you because you're 12 feet away from where the coffee's ordered. sir, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. Basically, as I said to Jonathan, now I'm walking down the fucking street furious, waiting for this guy to come out to tell him that there'll be no more, like,
no,
I don't
want to
see him.
We're done with
if
this.
If I ever see him again, don't whisper to your wife, don't point, fucking kill you.
Kill you.
I have to walk down to Pete's. Then I walked into Pete's, which I believe you described as a
it's like a Korean jazz
club. Korean
the one
jazz
he's talking
club.
About in particular is just a... It's like a fucking crazy, like,
I'm forced to go into
vortex.
This Pete's coffee shop. I don't know where to order, where to get it. I have the I'm holding the two $1 bills that I've been holding 10 minutes earlier in the Starbucks I just got thrown fucking out of that I've been going into every day for 10 years. I walk up, and I just want to get this fucking coffee I've been trying to get all morning. How can I help you, sir? This fucking guy. Can I have a small black coffee? And it looks like you'll be paying with $2.
That's $1.70. Yeah. Ooh,
oh,
you're going to be paying.
Looks like
you'll
be paying with
$2. Today.
Are you? I'm going to kill somebody.
You know those people? They say a lot of things like, "Let me go ahead and" is the thing. Let me just go ahead and. I'm going to
go ahead
and
let you pay for this.
Yes.
Let me pay for my fucking coffee. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Looks like you'll be paying with $2. Is that? Is that what it looks like?
Thanks for walking me through
Thank
this.
Thank you. For looks like you'll be getting a coffee in a moment.
Yeah.
But where? Where did I order it? Where do I get it? What is this place?
This four counters.
Why are there so many fedoras and fucking book bags and laptops? This isn't a coffee shop. This is a fucking Korean jazz club. I can't.
It's,
I saw a commercial for Orida Extra Crispy Fries. And in keeping with the tone of everything that can be fucking put into your mouth in this country, it's called Stand and Deliver is the motif of the ad. And one person's holding a extra crispy Orida French fry that is fully erect, ketchup on the tip, and ready to be eaten. Wah, wah. The dude next to him, he's holding up his French fry. Wah. His flaccid, teeny tiny.
Dribbling.
His fucking.
Drippy.
His little drippy. Tiny, tiny little French fry. Wah, wah.
Little uncircumcised
His
French fry.
Tiny little dink. Here's my little tiny
Here's
dinky
little
French
dink,
fry.
Dink.
And the other guy's got an enormous, it's not even a French fry, it's like six fries rolled into one ginor fry covered in ketchup. Fucking eat it. Just here we go.
It's all we want.
It's all we want.
Marilyn Manson's thoughts on his breakup with Evan Rachel Wood. In a new interview with Spin Magazine, the shock rocker doesn't hold back about thoughts on their breakup, that their breakup has brought about. Quote, "My lowest point was Christmas Day 2008 because I didn't speak to my family." The singer recalled, "My walls were covered in scrawlings of the lyrics and cocaine bags nailed to the wall. And I didn't have an experience, and I did have an experience where I was struggling to deal with being alone and being forsaken and being betrayed by putting your trust in one person. And making the mistake of that being the wrong person. And that's a mistake that everyone can relate to. I made the mistake of trying to desperately grasp on and save that and own it. And every time I called her that day, I called 158 times. I took a razor blade and I cut myself on my face or on my hands. I wanted to show Evan the pain that she put me through." Manson said, "It was like, I want you to physically see what you've done. It sounds made up, but it's completely true, and I don't give a shit if people believe it or not. I've got the scars to prove it. And I didn't want people to ask me every time I did an interview, 'Oh, is this record about your relationship with your ex-girlfriend?' But that damage is part of it. And the song, 'I Want to Kill You Like They Do in the Movies,' is about my fantasies. I have fantasies every day about smashing her skull in with a sledgehammer.
I love you, baby.
I love you.
Baby, I love you so much.
I love you, Chukins. Hey, Moochies.
Hey, Moochie Juchies. Hey, the chance of her getting back with you,
hey, Munchkin Sauce.
You just fucked that
Hey,
up.
Munchkin Sauce.
Hey,
I'm just calling
hey,
to
Munchie.
Let you know that article in Spin's coming out.
Hey, that article I talk about our love. It's
I mean,
in the
listen,
mag.
They always quote things so out of context.
It's so out of context
it reads
these
really
days.
Kind of crazy, but you know how it is. The press is nuts. Anyway, I'm just...
Toodles.
Toodles. Call me later. I'm going to Hugo's.
Toots. You called her 158 times in one day?
And sliced yourself with a razor blade each time you called?
That's a lot of phone calls. That's that's 158 phone calls. And I love you so much.
Hey.
Hey,
dude. Listen. Like that emo, like faggotron shit is
that
like
you pulled. Hey, what the shit you pulled in the past, the ladies that have managed, the girls that you have gotten to
some,
remove their fucking clothes,
you spit some heat
and get on you is beyond.
It's completely.
It's beyond the pale.
Any
it's,
comprehension.
It's, there's no comprehension to think that in
there's
your lifetime.
There's not a single record you've made that would remotely ever warrant them artistically being
to overseas. I don't know your private
oversee,
life, so
like,
I don't even know if this is all a farce, but I am to believe that at one point in your life, you have laid in a bed and Rose McGowan, these are at different time, or maybe all at the same time at this. Rose McGowan, Dita Von Teese, and Evan Rachel Wood have removed all of their clothing and stood behind you, bathed in the moonlight of your Hollywood Hills home, and then got on top of your penis. That's happened? I think it has. I will never be able to comprehend that.
In a million
for the rest
years
of time.
Before this
that
article.
That those three women willingly removed their clothing and pleased you. I'll never understand.
That
but
being said.
That being said, from the state of your latest album, the photos I saw of you in Norway on the stage this
week. A
little
portly.
You put on a little bit of weight. You've been thinking about some things.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's no longer 1999.
Or six.
You might be in for some trouble, dog.
The days, these days may be.
Your days are, they might be numbered. The Evan Rachel Wood thing, though, that just happened. When he says Christmas 2008, he means this past Christmas.
Yeah, it's Christmas 2008.
He means just like Christmas.
Well, what the fuck is she fucking
I'm not
thinking?
Sure. The only thing I can think is that Rose McGowan, Dita Von Teese, and Evan Rachel Wood, they're plum banana cakes is the only thing I can, they're on some shit is all I know. The Evan Rachel Wood thing, though.
That's a...
It's so current. It's Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, Rose McGowan at the time, it was like, well, duh.
Yeah, I guess. She's on Charmed. She's a vampire.
Fucking, he was a huge fucking rock
yeah,
star.
Yeah, she likes the vampire. They're working on some goth shit.
Yeah, I mean, he was on some shit.
Dita Von Teese, they could be on some Victorian era clothing bullshit that we don't understand. You
yeah,
know?
They like... Yeah.
Guillotines.
They buy like
fucking,
antique books.
Yeah,
yeah, like
they bind books in
yeah,
fucking
human
Native American
skin,
flesh.
Like,
I don't
yeah
know. The Evan Rachel Wood thing is like yesterday.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And she's
gorgeous.
And
first of all,
and also, I would just say young enough to not have not
to
have
get caught
him
up in that.
Yeah,
to
not
even
have
know who
him
he
be
is
like he was like my fucking thing.
Yeah,
growing
who is
up.
This
like,
guy?
He's like my like. It's like Bowie or somebody like that. You're like, all right, fine, fine, fine. Like, you know, because it's Bowie. Like,
I don't know.
I don't know. But apparently he does fantasize every day about smashing her skull in
with
a sledgehammer.
Not a nice thing to say.
Or
about
do
an ex-
or to think about that girlfriend much all the time. Like, that's a lot of times to think about that.
According to a survey by the nonprofit advocacy group, we've been dealing a lot with advocacy groups as of late because Jonathan.
Alleged advocacy.
Alleged advocacy groups. Common Sense Media, about 40% of high school students surveyed said they've used cell phones to cheat in school at least once. Also, around 38% say they have copied text directly from the web and turned it in as their own work. Other forms of cheating that today's high school students are using include storing notes on your cell phone, using camera phones to take pictures of tests and then sending them to other classmates, friends.
Tight.
Combined with this, that there's in this article I was reading, there's about 3,000 videos on YouTube showing high school kids ways of cheating. Stretching out a rubber band and writing, you know, putting the band.
I remember that.
Just putting it on your wrist.
I've seen
I didn't
that
know that. I like that. You so they're going old school.
That's old school.
Writing, taking a Pepsi, like a 20 ounce, and on the nutritional label, just using a pen and putting answers like in the nutritional label in black ink, so it just looks like, oh, I'm just having a Pepsi, sir, Mr. Sir. Pleated skirts. I saw girls with pleated skirts and they'd fold the pleat over.
Sexy. Sorry, that's sexy.
Roughly 25% of students said this isn't cheating at all. It's totally
this
and completely
is crafty craftsmanship.
This is not cheating.
This is
all right,
crafty,
let me ask you a question. So you can find So they're saying, I don't know, 40%, like almost half or whatever, are doing this. And you're saying 25% of them will use a cell phone, take a picture of a test, send it to somebody and be like, that's not cheating. It's not cheating? Sir, then? What is that?
It's...
Are these people just... I mean, listen, because we've all cheated, but you just... We've all done shit, but when you do it, everything I've done, like,
I've known that
I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Stolen, cheated, you just, I never...
That's the disconnect.
I've never, like, faked the funk.
Been like,
I'm not doing it.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what you speak of.
That's not what that is.
That is not what that is, but it quite plainly is, sir.
Well, I think that maybe, yeah, that yeah, it's just that.
No, like, but you just
blatant
took a, you
denial.
Just took your, you have a cell phone.
But that's
it. Takes
it's so easy to do it, and it doesn't even count, and it's not real.
I
didn't do
that, and you.
I don't remember doing that. I've done that 1,000 times today.
I do it all the time.
I do this
I do
all
it.
The time.
It's what I do.
I take
Everyone
pictures of all sorts
I
of
do.
Things. It's not really.
People
it's
call
just
me that.
Just
that's
doing
my, that's what I do. I'm that thing.
I don't know what you mean. I don't see what the problem is. It's not really like the same thing as what you're talking about. What do you mean? That's not the same thing as what you're talking
oh
about that I did.
God.
My thing that I did was different from those. It's not a camera. It's a phone.
Dummy.
I took a picture of it with my phone and I sent it. If I had a camera in there and taken a camera picture
Listen,
with it.
You don't even get it, old man. Psst.
You're so old.
You didn't even get it.
God, you're old,
you
old
to
man.
Used rubber bands to cheat.
Congratulations to Mississippi for the 5th year in a row. It is the country's fattest state, followed closely, oh so closely, by Alabama, West Virginia, and Tennessee.
Herda.
Hey.
Hey, Herda. Hey, Herda, Herda. No, Herda? Oh, you hear about the Herda? You're so crazy, that Herda, Herda. But you heard about it, right, the Herda, Herda, Herda? Are you Herda, Herda, Herda? No, it's no big deal. It's just a Herda, Herda.
It's just
a Herda, Herda.
Well.
Herda, Herda, Herda. I mean, it's really what it comes down to it. I mean, when you really have nothing.
Had a
heard
a
heard
a
heard
a
heard
a
heard a heard a
heard a
heard a heard a heard a heard a heard a heard a Hey, Mississippi.
Stop
being
so
fat. Alabama, heard a had a heard a. Basically, what do we
Y'all got to take better care of yourself.
Y'all got to brush your teeth.
And take your shit and like
and
sort
get
it
off
out.
Oxy. We stopped doing Oxy.
Well, they love those Oxys.
They fucking love those Oxys.
Dude, I heard some motherfuckers talking about street prices of Oxys.
Tough
like,
to get Oxys.
They
you gotta
are
pay.
Expensive.
You gotta roll a fucking old lady to buy one of those things. I'm not kidding you.
Holy fuck,
They're
man.
They're fucking expensive.
People were like, yeah, they'll go like 50, 60 bucks
for
one.
A pill?
And I was like, are you crazy?
I heard. Wow.
And they take them with Xanax.
What is that called? Given a name.
I mean, because it just feels like it's like it's the idea of you take a methadone and a Xanax. You know that whole doc that was done about those guys on the methadone program.
Yeah.
They all take Xanax because it actually feels like you do like a bag of smack if you take them at the same
just
time.
Dose up and just chill.
Same thing with Oxys. I guess Oxy and a Xanax, it just like sends you into like your
and
fucking.
You
like,
sit down, you relax. And you know what you do then? Can I take it back?
Chillax,
and watch NYC Prep. I cannot tell you.
I don't have cable.
How good. This show is if you can take a Zanny and just get like kick back with an MGD like 3 or 4
lime
and just some lime and just relax. NYC Prep, man, these kids, I want to be them. Sebastian 16, but it's rough though when you're watching a show and you're watching a 16-year-old kid and all you're thinking is God,
I
want to
be that
you.
Guy. I want to be you.
I want to be you.
That sucks.
It's a
tough. Shitty feeling.
It's a shitty feeling. I want to be you, man. He speaks French. He's got crazy hair that he gets to like take and flip. And he wants a number. He just asks. He's got one girl there. He's got another girl coming. And he sits down next to another girl in front of them. He's like, let me get your number in front of both of them. They don't even, it's just Sebastian's game. It's just on point. What are you going to do?
Speaking of games on point, Patrick Dempsey is releasing his second cologne for men this November. I was completely and utterly unaware that there was a Patrick Dempsey 1. What However, Patrick Dempsey 2, which is what it's called, last summer he unveiled his signature fragrance. It was called Unscripted, was the first one.
Oh, you motherfucker.
I mean, for real?
This guy is straight up for real. On his Tour de France
Improv.
Bike. Yeah. Long form. What?
It was such a hit that Avon has decided to give him a second fragrance. Patrick Dempsey's 2 is about, quote, the intimacy of two people and the strength you get in a relationship. It will be edgier than his first cologne with notes of nutmeg and patchouli.
It will be edgier. Hey, dude, let me tell you something. You can't
get less edgy.
There's no such, you couldn't.
It's the dullest edge I've ever seen.
That edge couldn't.
So round.
It couldn't.
It's the roundest edge.
Dude.
God, that edge is round.
It couldn't break an egg. That
slipping right off of it.
That you're
using. Slipping off of it, literally. The curvature of this edge is like.
You don't get it, man.
It's the easiest slope.
This cologne is edgy.
Gradual grade at which it's sloping at. It's amazing.
Now, listen.
What?
I drive a, like, 1993 Plymouth Sundance. Nothing I want more than a Marauder with tinted windows.
Duh.
And I'll do whatever I have to do to get it. I guess if having my own cologne, if having to literally live my life and speak to my father and have to tell my father, like, I have a cologne, like, Dad, I don't know how I'm to tell you this. Are you sitting down? I have a cologne named after me, but I got a Marauder. I don't know if it would fly. This guy,
it might fly. I mean,
this guy walks the world and has two colognes. Where is his mind at? Is he just like, I'm making so much money, this is awesome? Or is he making a cologne that's about the intimacy, literally releasing a press release that this cologne is about the intimacy between two people?
I would assume that at that level, you are probably believing your own
bullshit.
You're
so fucking delirious.
You have to.
That you're creating signature scents that deal with the intimacy between two fucking people.
But in an edgy way. Like a much edgier way than most
nutmeg.
Fragrances.
With cardamom and nutmeg.
You know, it's a tough, relationships are a tough thing for scents to tackle. It's a tough subject for scents to tackle.
To understand.
You got
to
do it. You got to come at it edgy.
I mean, to take a fragrance and try to have that in an abstract, sublime way, mimic or at least envelop what a loving relationship is. It has to be edgy. You motherfucker. You motherfucker. I just don't.
It's nuts.
It's one way or the other. It's either, like you said last week, people leave the house and their game is so off point, or it's the other way. They're so fucking gonzo that they release scents in their own name and have no whiff of how fucking
not even a whiff
fucking motherfucking just that's their life. I mean, some people's lives.
Listen, if you had a knack for scents and you decided, as Patrick Dempsey, I am making such a fuck ton of money, I love my perfumes, like I love my smell wells, I'm gonna start a fucking smell well company because I can do that. That's one thing. But if you're just putting your face out there and being like, because it's me, this is why you're buying this, because
McDreamy,
that is psychotic.
It's crazy. That's what I mean.
It's so crazy. Because it is like the shittiest chess move you could possibly make. As far as I'm concerned, in those careers, at that position that they're in, it's just like.
But it's beyond that. Dude. If I see that motherfucker, I'm going to say, do you know you're on a fucking show called fucking Grey's Anatomy, you fucking fruit? It's the best show on TV, man. We're prime time. Like, you are a fucking lunatic. But he drives, he's got like a Porsche and like races. Oh,
yeah,
I mean,
he's
a bajillionaire.
And fucking bullshit. And
beautiful wife, probably got beautiful kids.
He's a comeback kid, man. He's the comeback kid.
I fucking, man. Lover boy.
Remember how fucking stoked you were for him when he fucking got that gig?
Couldn't have. What gig?
When he was like starting to work again, you're like, oh, that's awesome. You didn't give a shit out.
You come back fucking strong or don't come back at all. Come back legit or don't come back at all. Thank you. Who's mom and harder?
Hit me.
31-year-old Summer, many white horses.
Took place on a reservation?
Summer, many white horses had a 2-year-old son who fell from his high chair.
What's his name?
I believe it's James.
All right. Let's call him Jimmy. Nothing crazy.
Summer, many white horses was watching TV in the other room and didn't see him fall out of his high chair to the floor, killing him. Some people might call the authorities. Some people might deal with the situation at hand.
No.
She wrapped his body in a blanket, put it in the trunk, told her 11-year-old daughter to get in the front seat of their car, and she spent the next 2 months driving around Montana using the government checks that the boy got sent because he was autistic to buy food, alcohol, gas, and stay in motels.
Okay. So.
23-year-old Emily Beth McDonald. She lives in Austin, Texas. Her daughter, 3-year-old Dakota, was being admitted to the hospital for these strange infections. Kept going in and out of hospitals, always had these relapses, never seemed to be getting any better. Could not crack this until a surveillance video from a camera that was in the children's hospital room caught her putting shit into her daughter's intravenous feeding tube.
Yeah. So that's some Munchausen by proxy shit.
You got it.
Oh,
you don't know what I'm going through.
I mean, the first one, maybe. All right. My kids, he was autistic to begin with. She basically parlayed his very untimely accidental death into
an incredible bonding
experience. An awesome road trip with his, with her daughter. Road trip
with her daughter. Who, because the daughter probably felt neglected that this, her baby brother
very well be going to prison for this. I might as well, like, tell her everything I know before I'm, like, not allowed.
Let her all know about all these crazy ways in the world. Let Summer Many White Horses tell you about the wind.
About how many horses.
I have an idea. Let's spend the next 2 months just drive all over Montana. We'll sleep in motels. We'll get fucking wasted. We'll eat like delicious diner meals and just chill, yo. What about Emily? Emily's doing, that's some fucked up shit.
It's the worst shit. It's the worst shit you can do.
Oh, God, it's been so hard. Every time we go in, we just don't know.
It's the worst.
I just spend all night up with
that
my baby.
Because
I am just like, I'm the world's greatest mom.
But you know,
I have the mug to prove it.
But you know, there's varying levels of that stuff. It's such a amplified version of something that you see in so many people. And it is something that is tolerated.
Cloaked.
Because everyone always says the same thing to them, like, oh, you're just, you know, you're always, oh, you're so, I mean, it's just
no,
that.
Her lawyer was like, she's a wonderful young lady from a wonderful family.
You have no idea. She works
you don't
so
get
hard,
it.
Tirelessly.
Oh, she, with
how
this
dare
baby.
You even.
How could you even insist? How dare you? How dare you? Well, actually,
how dare you?
Well, I double dog dared. Watch the surveillance camera, and you're putting shit right into the feeding tube where the fucking carrots are supposed to go. Don't want the shit, want the carrots. Can't get better when you feed the baby shit. Not good meal. And I don't mean shit like Hardee's. I mean your shit. I'm not talking.
No, like. You know. Get sick, baby. Like, here, baby.
Hey, baby, stay sick, because mommy is just, it's so terrible for me.
No, this is, like, the best for me. This is the best my fucking life could ever be, is me making you sick forever in order to fucking, like, that's what you do for me.
That's what you do for me,
baby. That's what you make possible for me. Is I'm going to stuff
mom.
You full of feces to keep you sick.
So people will feel bad for
me. I need to keep talking to people and telling them.
I need people to feel
how
bad
fucking
for me. Because I'm a mom. World's greatest.
Because I'm the best mom.
Got the mug to prove it.
I I don't know. Mormon University BYU has lifted its ban on campus access to YouTube because of the increasing amount of educational materials available on the site, which I can attest to. The school is granting access for the first time. The university has encouraged its students to use the tenets of their faith to avoid any objectionable material available on the site. That includes anything remotely erotic, indecent, pornographic, disorderly, obscene, or indecent. So many things.
So many things.
God, there's a lot of things to see if those are in there before it's you know so... if you can watch it. And you can only tell if you watch it. You can only find out if those things are there if you watch it.
I guess you got to like such watch
a,
with
yeah,
like...
Yeah, it's like a snake eating like its own tail.
One, yeah, like one
faith
eye,
is a bugger, isn't it?
It is a buggeroo.
Oof.
Hey, your tenants,
your tenants
suck.
Fuck, man.
I get you. But I suppose people live by that shit. That's the whole point.
Nobody lives by that shit. That's the whole point.
Okay. Right? How could you live by that shit?
Impossible.
I mean, it's the your life is
shut
the
up.
Opposite of that
yeah.
shit.
Everything is the opposite of that shit.
Your
That's
life
the
is
point.
The opposite of being a Mormon.
Yeah. Those are there to be the antithesis of what our lives
they
actually are.
They created Mormonism just so you could read the
they
book and know
they exist simply
Jonathan
because of their lack of existence. Officials from UC Berkeley say that hackers... not hacky sackers, but hackers, had infiltrated restricted computer databases, putting at risk the social security numbers and health and medical info of up to 160,000 students and alum. The over six-month-long breach was discovered during a routine maintenance when campus staff discovered taunting messages. The computer hackers were traced to China.
What the fuck, man? It's a good thing we have this show to keep watch.
I crashed my bike today, and I'm hurting really bad.
Did you get a boo-boo?
Everything I got, I got boo-boos all over.
You
my...
want some Neosporin?
I need some Nino. I needed some Neosporin and a.
Do you need some Nino Betancourt?
And a Wadvil. Oh, somebody needs a Wadvil.
I got a fifth grade teacher.
Okay.
Sacramento, California. She gave all of her students a DVD to commemorate their school year.
Uh-oh.
Sort of. Look back.
Look back.
Look ahead.
Look at this. Look inside.
It had field trips.
Oh, no.
Class presentations.
Oh, God. What else did it have?
Well, a father sat down with his young son.
Ay, ay.
Pulled up the menu screen, had all of the chapters up on the TV. He said, I'm going to watch this one where my son's featured. Pressed play, and there was his son. He watched this classroom scene. There's applause. And then, as I watched, because a news crew on CBS in Sacramento got a hold of the tape, there was an just literal abrupt cut from what has been blocked out of a kid's classroom of all the faces to their fifth grade teacher in her living room on her couch getting fucked. And it's on. It's happening. The father recalled his son's shocked face in question. Dad, is that Miss Delfante? Yes, son. Yes, son,
and
it
how.
Is.
And how, son.
Now you go to your room.
You think
Daddy
about this.
Needs to be alone immediately. And she's, they have some of the body. Her head is back. Looks to be in exaltation.
Yeah.
There's some blurriness, but there is shit going on that couch of her living room that she has videotaped.
It's a sweet DVD.
She is apparently mortified, doesn't know how this happened, has expressed remorse, called all of the students and parents in tears, begging to keep her job and her dignity.
Refresh. REPHRESH. Refresh. Vaginal gel. Clinically proven to maintain a healthy vaginal pH. After your period, refresh. After intimacy, refresh. After douching, refresh. Stop feminine odor, itch, and irritation. Use refresh. Did you know a normal vaginal pH of 4.5 is important for maintaining good vaginal health?
I did not know that.
I didn't know that 4.5 was the going
That's
number.
That's the optimal?
I think
Can
it's...
you ask a woman that?
Is that a? It is 4.5. It's not a ratio. It's not 4 to 5. Is it?
I think it's.
Is that
4.
How you measure? How do you measure vaginal pH?
Vaginal
is it a
pH?
Is it a? Is it a?
I have no idea.
Does it have anything to do with compression?
I mean, there is so much that women have to deal with. This is something
I wasn't... What would pH do? Would it make it taste... Oops.
Excuse me. Hey, now. Whoa.
Ow.
3-2-3-4-1-4-4-2-2. Listen, well, is that... Like, how do you...
Well, sometimes there's like a more irony sort of taste.
Hey, what's... hey, young lady. Holla at me.
What's your pH right now?
Holla at me your pH. Hey, what's your name? Feeling, what's your sign?
What are you, 6.1 pH right now? What am I looking at?
What do you mean, what are you looking at?
What's your pH right now?
What's your pH at? Are you talking about...
How's your vaginal health?
You're talking about my indoor, my pool at my home? Holla at me with that pH.
How do you test for vaginal pH? How do you check your own pH levels?
You have to have...
You must have to piss on something.
You think you have to piss on something? Or maybe you just put something...
It's probably like a pregnancy test. You stick something in there?
Stick something in. Ladies don't have it easy. There's so many things to think about.
Ladies,
UID.
After your period, refresh. After intimacy, refresh. After douching, refresh. Which is,
that seems like a lot to do.
To douche and refresh post douche.
I mean, can you douche and refresh? Douching,
I mean, that means basically you could fuck, refresh, douche. And then have to refresh again.
Again, because of the douching and the fucking after intimacy? Well,
after intimacy, you refresh.
Is intimacy, that means fucking?
What?
Intimacy? Does that mean fucking?
For some people, yeah.
Cloaked it, didn't they?
Yeah. After
now,
intimacy.
Now, can you spell refresh for me? Because
R-E-P, capital H, R-E-S-H.
That's really bold.
Refresh.
Refresh. Mm. Wow. This is a podcast.
This is a podcast of sorts.
And it's about vaginal health.
It promotes vaginal
health.
This
is a science podcast that's first and foremost endorses and promotes vaginal health.
This is a podcast. Go to the website. It has all the places you need to go from there. Uhyeahdude.com. UHHYEAHDUDE.
Now, when he says all the places.
All the places are forums.
Going
you
on
can
there.
Buy t-shirts. You can
t-shirts
watch videos. T-shirts are also shipped in the mail on their way to you.
USPS.
People that have bought them, thank you so much. And they're en route. Go to the website.
No, listen, this is a serious thing.
Okay.
So we're not saying
we always
go to
do
the
this and it takes forever.
I know, but if you go to the website, uhyeahdude.com, there's a new button.
Oh,
is that what it would
sorry.
Be called?
Yeah, and I think that might be a button that's brought even more clearly to the front page, but for right now, it's just, I think it's in the top left-hand corner amongst all the other navigation.
If you wanted to get a t-shirt, which you should, you click on merch.
Merch, yeah.
There's a new button called Media. And you might be wondering, because if you scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page, you can go to YouTube and see some of the videos that we'd shot a while back. But Media is a sort of new offering that Jonathan and I have put on the website, obviously with help.
Yes.
Jeff and
Big help
Nick
from Jeff,
55
Inch and Nick and Weck. And
So when I say we, I mean
the
mean
crew.
The collective we, the universal we.
The royal we.
The royal we. There is a video. It's 18 minutes long. Just
check it out.
Check it out.
Go watch
Let us know what you think. Yeah. It's a sort of compilation of some video. It's a video offering, a montage of interesting video. And honestly, if you do get a chance, please watch that because it is funny and we'd like to know your feedback on that because we have many, many... Many, many hours that we've been going through and sort
going
of
through
trying to put together clips of this length, or we're just trying to put together funny.
Just go and watch it and tell us what you think of it.
Go and watch it and tell us what you think of it. No, but please.
But seriously, do it.
And not more for us, for you, because it is crazy funny.
Then if you haven't bought a t-shirt, please buy one. And we got new designs coming and more shit like that, so stay abreast.
Stay abreast.
That's it.
No, so...
I think that's it.
Yeah, so in
and then the
telephone
two phone numbers, sorry, two phone numbers, 888-842-2357, 888-842-2357, my cell phone number, 323-481-4422.
And so, again, super thank you for listening and iTunes, and just keep listening, tell friends to listen and help us out, because we're doing our best to do this. This podcast.
This podcast.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
How old is the currently accepted age of the universe? The fun fact.
The universe?
The universe.
Is it?
Our universe.
3.6 trillion?
It's 13.7 billion.
Yeah.
That's a great call. Seatbelts.
Seatbelts.
Dicen que por las noches no más se le iba en puro llorar. Dicen que no comía, no más se le iba en puro tomar. Juran que el mismo cielo se estremecía al oír su llanto. Cómo sufría por ella, que hasta en su muerte la fue llamando. Ay, 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 ay. Cantaba. Que una paloma triste, muy de mañana, le va a cantar a la casita sola, con sus puertitas de par en par. Juran que esa paloma no es otra cosa más que su alma. Que todavía la espera a que regrese la desdichada. Sorry.